I was born in Canada, but the Jamaican side of me screams a little bit when I see all the snow coming down and have to leave my house. So I'm glad we could all be here together tonight. Let's take a moment to quiet our hearts before God and pray. Loving Father, may we never lose our wonder when we think of you coming down to earth as a little baby. God, may we hold on to you with everything we have. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Send your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look forward to Christmas, which is in just a few hours now, we're coming to a close with our time of Advent. And Advent is a very important time in the Christian year. In anticipation of the coming of our Savior, we've been talking a lot about love and peace and hope and joy. And these are words that can fill us with a sense of wonder and awe. But Christmas is also a time of year when those of us who have experienced loss or are grieving often feel it more keenly. If you have a loved one who has died, or if your family is going through trying circumstances, Christmas can actually be a very difficult time. It can be hard to speak peace, love, joy, and hope into that darkness. Not that those words don't bear any substance, because they do. But when you're in the midst of that grief, you often want something tangible, something you can hold on to, something that you can touch or taste or see. We've been talking a lot about the idea of home over the past 4 weeks of Advent, what it is, what it means to us. And we've heard from people who are trying to provide homes for those who don't have one. A couple weeks ago, we had our young people do the service. And one of the young people, he finished by saying, "You always have a home with God." And at Christmas, we definitely look to the young to set the tone. So I want to tell you a story about a young boy. His name is Francisco. He lives in a village called Aquile, which is in central Bolivia. So that's Francisco there in the green shirt. I met him in August when a mission team from our church, along with Weston Park Baptist Church, traveled to Bolivia for a 2-week mission trip. Francisco is 14 years old. He lives in a small house with his mother, his two sisters, a brother-in-law, two nieces, and one nephew. His father died when he was just a little child. Francisco was so young when it happened that he doesn't actually have any memories of his father. No one knows what he died of. His family just remembers that he got sick, and they realized they didn't have any money to take him to the hospital. So they waited. What else could they do? When I met Francisco, he had been out of school for 4 years. He was small in stature, but you can see he's very strong from working on the family farm. Neither one of us had really known his father, but in a way, his father was what brought us together. I said before that no one knows how his father died, but for a man in central Bolivia to die in his mid-40s with the symptoms that his father had, it was most likely something that's called Chagas disease. Now, this is a disease that's transmitted by a bug called vinchuca. It lives in the mud walls of people's homes, and at nighttime it crawls out and bites them, transmitting the parasite that goes into their bloodstream. The disease is deadly because it can lie undetected for years, but it slowly does damage to your internal organs, including your heart. It's actually a fairly common disease. It affects about 30 to 40% of children in Bolivia, and even more of the adult population. It's also a disease that is fairly easy to prevent with the right education and the proper resources. Our team was in Bolivia to work alongside Francisco's family, to plaster the walls of their house so the bugs would be killed, and to cement the floor. This first step ensures that the family won't be at risk anymore. And then the second step is to make sure that everyone in the family is tested, and if they test positive, they're then treated for the disease. And even if they have the disease with a proper treatment, they can live long and healthy lives. As we worked alongside Francisco and his family, we were all very impressed at how hard he was working. For me, it was amazing to see a house being formed from raw materials. The structure was already there, yes, but we would take the yeso powder, mix it with water, wait for it to firm up a little bit, not too much, and then put it on the walls as quickly as possible. And we'd try to be neat, although we weren't all successful at that. But we wanted to get it on the walls before it got too hard. When it came to doing the floor, we had to go and collect rocks from around the family farm. With these rocks, we would then take them back to the house and lay them on the floor. Then we took cement mix, mixed it with dirt and water, then laid it on the floor of the house and waited for it to dry. Now, I've never been one to marvel at dirt, but I couldn't help but be filled with a sense of wonder. I was seeing the cement that we mixed with our hands and the plaster come together to make a home. It was hard work in the heat of the day, but the whole family was united in the common goal of building their home and making it a safe place for them to live. When we left, Francisco and his family thanked us, and they tried to offer us a gift, a little lamb, to show us just how grateful they were, something tangible to remember them by. But we didn't need a gift to remember them. Given that it was very physical work, I still carry all those memories in my body. The cold of the plaster, the weight of the mixed cement, the rough wool of the lamb, its tongue as it licked my arm, and Francisco, his eyes. All of these memories I have, that Sarah has too, and Bruce, they form the image in our mind of what a home is. And I'm not sure if it was the almost biblical landscape of the Bolivian desert, or just seeing a family work so hard and so united together. But I knew that God was in that home. Most of us don't have the same problems that Francisco and his family are facing. But we all know that no home is perfect. Every family has its own tensions and dramas. What fills our homes with wonder are those moments when Christmas becomes something tangible. A memory, the smell of food, the crackling of a fireplace, a warm embrace from your mother or your father. And in the same way, the Bethlehem stable was filled with wonder that first Christmas. As we read about the shepherds visiting Mary and Joseph, we see that God wanted to do something different. God often spoke to people with words. He made his presence known in the temple, as we read about in Exodus this past fall. But his primary medium was to give words to the prophets, who would then share them with his people. His people. They were living with loss. They had lost their freedom, and they were losing their identity. Words, as they had been given to that point, weren't enough. So, God did something different. He gave them something concrete, something tangible that people could touch and see. He made his word flesh when he sent Jesus, his only son, to be a light in the darkness. Something tangible for people to hold on to when everything else was slipping through their fingers. God came down. And this was something so unusual that even heaven itself couldn't be contained. As God was born and breathed air and felt cool and smelled earth, angels were so in awe that they made a ruckus. So much so that the shepherds in the fields at night heard what was going on up there. They saw the heavens open. They heard the angel of the Lord say, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." And the shepherds went with haste to see what this commotion was all about. They arrived in Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph, and there, lying in the manger, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who would bring peace, the one who offered true joy, the one who embodied love, the one who personified hope. And for the first time, they could behold God. They could see him and touch him and smell him and pick him up. And the shepherds praised God for all that they had seen and heard. And it all happened around a manger, something so very basic and raw. And because of it, we now see a manger, and we are filled with wonder. This manger is a reminder that God came down, that during a time when things were falling apart, God looked and said, "I've got this. I'm coming." In the midst of our own wonder and loss and grief, we have hope because we know that God is here. God is among us. God is our home. It's a great paradox that while God is our home, he also makes his home in us. For just as the heavens opened at his birth, they continue to open as God sends his Spirit to us, to dwell in us. If you're having trouble this Christmas with the words peace, hope, love, and joy, start with something tangible. Start with the manger, a humble vessel that would contain the God-child. Start with your home, the walls that surround you every day. Or start with yourself, a body in which our God is pleased to dwell, if you would invite him to do so. Follow the example of Mary as she ponders in her heart what all this might mean. And if you're not having trouble being filled with the wonder of Christmas, you can be that something tangible for someone who needs to see God. I promise you, you won't need to look as far as Bethlehem or Bolivia. Christ is our true home, the place where we are welcomed and loved and accepted. Christ is our hope for all people and for all time. That's why we gather around the Lord's table, as we'll do so in a few minutes, to be reminded that we have been adopted into God's family, that he has welcomed us into his home. Someone said it this way: no matter who we are or where we live, no matter whether we have come home for Christmas or are celebrating with a family we have made for ourselves, No matter what our state or sinfulness or station in life, no matter what our status or identity or background or culture or beliefs, no matter whether we live in a mansion or an apartment or a shelter or a mud hut in the Bolivian mountainside, the truth is that all our earthly homes are temporary places. There is only one home that is permanent, and that is the home that we make with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight and whose coming again we need not fear, but rather will look for with the hope of Joseph and the joy of Mary and the curiosity of the Magi and the boldness of the shepherds in the field. My prayer is that you will never lose the wonder of Christmas as you seek God. That as you seek God, you will come away like the shepherds, praising him for all that you have seen and heard. Let us hold on to our tangible God. Let us gather around the manger and be filled with wonder. Let's gather around the table of our Lord. Amen.
I'll ask the